All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Please, please, please understand. What I just read to you is officiale catholicale doctrinale, okay? This is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Perhaps some of my Catholic friends out there listening weren't aware of that before, but you are now. And you can no longer deny that your beloved church that you thought was beloved prior to Vatican II is a complete and total fraud. If you, in fact, agree with that statement, well, then you're a fraud, too. I'm sorry to say, but that's just the reality of it. This man is not God on earth. His voice is not to be readily obeyed like God himself, okay? Where do they get off with this crap? Well, I probably just knocked my mic boost off again. Nope. Hey, what do you know? It survived that one. I got to chill out with my yelling here. But guys, this stuff just makes me sick to my stomach. Makes me want to puke. Listen to this one. This is from, The Code of Canon Law. Paulist Press, 1985. Canon 1404 and 1405. And 333. Section 3, pages 951 and 271. How's that for documentation? Listen to what it says. Again, do I have to elaborate? This is official Roman Catholic teaching, and always has been. Listen to what they say about his Gluteus Maximus over there in Rome. Every cleric must obey the Pope, even if he commits. Oh, this is what I was talking about earlier. Listen to this. This is like what the Mormons claim about their church presidents. Every cleric must obey the Pope, even if he commands what is evil, for no one may judge the Pope. Unbelievable. By the way, that declaration was a quote from Pope Innocent. Oh, he sounds innocent too with that. Pope Innocent III, who reigned from 1198 to 1216 AD. Here's some more quotes from the same work. Let's see here. Oh boy. Wait a second, guys. Okay, I guess I got a caller. I'm going to go to him in just a second. Let me just finish these two paragraphs here. Okay, the first see, the Vatican, that is judged by no one. It is the right of the Roman pontiff, the Pope himself alone, to judge those who hold the highest civil office in a state. There is neither repeal nor recourse against a decision or decree of the Roman pontiff. His authority is final. Scary, scary stuff, guys. At the fourth session of the Fifth Lateran Council, I'll finish with this and then I'll take our caller. At the Lateran Council, Christopher Marcellus, in an oration to the Pope, exclaimed, quote, "Thou art the shepherd, thou art the physician, thou art the director, thou art the husbandman. Finally, thou art another God on earth." These are Catholic teachings from Catholic sources. That was from P. Johannes Harduin, Acta Conciliorum, Volume 9, page 1651, for those that are taking notes. All right. Wow. Hey, look at that. We got a caller here. I'll call him Mr. Moore. He's using the term Father Moore, but I don't call any man my father, including my own biological one. I told my siblings that they can have him if they want, but I renounce my claim. Anyway, Mr. Moore, welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear about your wisdom tooth. Was it your tooth that got better or what?
Oh, I just had some oral surgery done for a preparation for a crown.
I just got done with kidney stone surgery. I'm in a little pain here. So anyhow, I just mentioned a couple things here. I don't, of course, agree with everything. I was raised Lutheran and I came Catholic and teach in seminary. But, you know, it's a lot of stuff you said that I couldn't quite, you know, cover. Is that music there? Or?
Yeah, we got to go to break. You want to hold?
Yeah, I'll hold for now.
Sure. Okay, guys, stick with us. Short break. Be right back.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee 37371.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. We got Mr. Moore on the phone. Unfortunately, heading for some kidney stone surgery. You got my sympathy there. I had a friend who had that done recently, and it was not a very pleasant experience.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at a bottle of Percocet here, and I'm going to take a couple of minutes. I'll be brief, but
Before we continue, are they going to do laser? Because I guess they don't even have to go in now to do that, right? They can just.
No, that's what they did, but it hurts on the other side. I'm telling you.
or actually, not even laser, ultrasound or something. They don't have to cut you open at all.
No, they
right?
did laser. They stuck some up there, and did laser thing. That's.
Because I've seen a thing now where they can use ultrasound and shatter it without ever penetrating the skin.
Yeah, I heard that scalp. Too, but, a guy said it would take 2 hours, so I said, okay, do it that way and get it done with. It'll go away. I can address all the issues, and I understand being both a Lutheran, trained in the Lutheran pastor, later becoming Catholic. And,
oh, you're a Lutheran?
I was trained as a Lutheran pastor, then I became Catholic.
Oh, but then you became a Catholic, okay.
Right, but I think to me one of the best things to read about the Catholic Church, and there's so much they've written, and so much is good, and so much is bad. And to me, the basic fundamentals of catechism of the Catholic Church, and I think most people that read that would probably not disagree with much that's in there. And then I also find that the Catholic Church, not just the Catholic Church, but Episcopal, all the churches, but the first victim at the World Trade Center was a Father Michael. And I always kind of thought that was symbolic of the battle that we're in right now, dealing with these this evil that this country's come under. But
so you see 9/11 as an inside job?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh
no,
wow.
No.
Oh cool. Great. Awesome.
You know, I can't say that my fellow agrees, but you know, bit by bit they'll come around. I think. So I'm just on the positive side. You know, to get a better understanding. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff in the Catholic Church. And he has a lot of atrocities done, and Lutherans, they messed up too, and
sure.
But the Catechism, it's about 900 pages, but some of you are real interested, because, you know, when the Pope says something, there's certain language he uses. What does he mean? Well, did he say it as his magisterium or not? You know, I'm not going to get into all that, but so I'm just putting a word in there that on the other side, you might take a look at that Catechism sometime, but. And I also think, you know, in the Catholic Church, you see a lot of good things that are done, the works. You know, Father Michael, he was a champion for gay, and he was champion for...
no question.
Think, you know, so I'll just put a good word in there, and I hope your operation goes okay. I got one more day laying around, and I'll be back at it, so take care.
All right, good luck to you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, no question about it, guys. There's good Catholics. There's probably some good Mormons too, although I don't know. No, but seriously, I'm not. This isn't an indictment, you know. And this is one of the reasons why I hate even doing this, because I don't want to offend sincere people like that guy that just called. There are a lot of sincere Catholics out there, and this is not meant to offend them. I don't want to offend anybody. Period. But what I'm doing here is exposing the corruption. You know, all the churches are fake. I'm not just picking on the Catholic Church. They happen to be my focus today, but as you've seen, I've talked about Seventh-day Adventism, talking about Mormonism. You know, I could go through each one of them. They're all corrupt. My point is, stay away from all of them. You know, I'm not against faith in God, of course. I believe in God myself. I just don't believe in organized religion. They're all filled with lies and corruption, and some are not as bad as others, but, you know, it's just a matter of what preference of puppy vomit you prefer over another, I guess. You know, it's all puppy vomit. What's the difference? Some brands of it are a little more tolerable than others, but you still don't want it on your dinner plate, right? Sorry for the gross analogy, but that's basically what it amounts to. Anyway, let's go on to some more quotes along this line. The Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, but he is Jesus Christ himself hidden under a veil of flesh. This comes from the Catholic National, 1895. The following quote contains yet even more incredible claims that the Catholic Church makes about the Pope. This one is from a document I just quoted a few moments ago, La Civiltà Cattolica, a Jesuit organ published at the Vatican in Rome. This is from back in 1867, volume 12, page 86. This is what it says. It is not enough for the people to know that the Pope is the head of the Church. They must also understand that their own faith and religious life flow from him. Oh, really? Well, mine doesn't, and never will. That in him is the bond which unites Catholics to one another, and the power which strengthens and the light which guides Rome. That he is the dispenser of spiritual graces, the giver of the benefits of religion, the upholder of justice, and the protector of the oppressed. You know, guys, when I read stuff like this, I have to ask, well, gee, what do we need God for then? If this one man can do all of that, we don't need God. Apparently, this guy serves all the functions God is supposed to serve, so we'll just look to him. I do have to wonder, though, why after 70 this guy dies like the rest of us. You would think if he had all this power and prerogatives and abilities, you know, that he would have conquered the grave. But every pope that's ever held that chair, that position, has in fact been buried 6 feet under like the rest of us. I just don't seem to think the man has any of the powers they claim he does. Oh, come on, people. Give me a break. How can anybody possibly justify this kind of crap? Why is it ridiculous for Mormon leaders to claim that you can obey them and, in fact, must obey them, even if they tell you to do something evil, that God wants you to obey them, You know, how can people say that that is absolutely heinous and ridiculous and then turn around and say, oh, well, yeah, that's not true about Joseph Smith, but it is true about the Pope? Knock it off. Please, just knock it off. Get real. Anyway, let's go on here. The alleged power of the priest. Oh, yes, they say pretty much the same thing about priests, too. In fact, these quotes, or at least this next quote I'm going to be citing from, comes from a book called Dignities and Duties of the Priest, which has been used for the past couple centuries for in the training of priests. At least many Catholic seminaries use this book. This is from the 1929 edition, pages 34 to 36, written by Alphonsus de Liguori. Understand that de Liguori is another respected, revered Catholic author from back in the 18th century. They even named a book after him. A magazine, a publication called The Ligurian. And here's what he said about priests. The priest holds the place of the Savior himself when, by saying, I thee absolve, ego te absolvo, he absolves from sin. To pardon a single sin requires all the omnipotence of God, but what only God can do by his omnipotence, the priest can also do by saying, I thee absolve. Pope Innocent III wrote, indeed, it is not too much to say that in view of the sublimity of their offices, the priests are so many gods. The priests are so many gods. This is disgusting, guys. So pretty much the priest, like the popes, is God on earth and has all kinds of divine authority. He can just say the magic words, and presto, what takes all of God's power to accomplish, the priest can do just by saying those magic words. You know, it's so ridiculous that the words that the priest used to say when he blessed the bread and turned it supposedly into the body and blood of Christ, you know, transubstantiation, for those of you that don't know, this is a doctrine the Catholic Church has, which claims that the body and blood of Christ become the bread that they eat for communion becomes the body and blood of Christ. That when you eat that bread, you're literally eating Christ's body and blood. It's very bizarre. They actually bow in reverence before the monstrance, which is where they put this round wafer after the priest blesses it. He holds it up in this sunburst pagan symbol monstrance thing. By the way, the ancient pagans did the same thing, guys. Egypt, for example, they had a monstrance. It was a sunburst-shaped implement, and they would put a round wafer, and it actually said IHS on it as well. That stood for Isis, Horus, and Seb. Now today, they claim, you know, oh, it refers to Christ, the first three Greek letters, Iota, Eta, and Sigma. Iesus, the first three letters in the word for Jesus in Greek. But anyway, nevertheless, exact same thing, a round wafer, IHS, in the monstrance, held up by the priest, bowed to by the faithful. The parallels are striking. They claim that at eating the bread, they were eating their god, Isis, Horus, and Seb. Well, guess what? You know, they say now that they're doing the same with Christ. It's nothing but paganism under a Christian garb. Anyway, the priest, when he would bless the bread, this was pre-Vatican II, and of course, when the Mass was performed in Latin, the priest would say, hoc est corpus meum, this is my body. And that's where the saying hocus pocus comes from, guys. It's a spin-off of that, because the idea was, see, the priest is magic. He can just say those magic words, hoc est corpus meum, and presto, the bread turns into the body and blood of Christ. So it was the magician term, hocus pocus, actually was a spin-off of that, corpus meum. Anyway, but just to make it clear, you know, communion is not bizarre. Communion is something that Christ had established. But the Catholic version of it is bizarre, folks. Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. Their performance of it is a reenactment of Calvary. They claim that they're sacrificing Christ there on the altar. Why do you think they call it an altar? It's a sacrificial altar where they offer the bread. They claim that that bread is literally Christ himself. Hey, I can tell you stories of priests in past ages who would commit suicide because while in the latrine bending over, a piece of blessed bread would fall out of their pocket into the latrine, and they thought they committed sacrilege and actually killed themselves because they thought they dropped Christ into the latrine. I mean, it's horrific, horrendous. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Just want to read a couple more quotes so you can see that this, again, represents Catholic teaching. It's not something I'm saying that they teach. This is from another Catholic source. Actually, you know what? No, this is from the same book, Dignities and Duties of the Priest, Alphonsus de Liguori. In fact, the next two quotes are from this same work. He also says of priests, the priest has the power of the keys, or power of delivering sinners from hell, of making them worthy of paradise. Once again, guys, you know, for those of you that are biblically inclined, this is blasphemy. The Bible says that Christ is the means of salvation. Salvation comes through him. But along comes Rome and says, nope, nope, it comes through the priest. He has the power of the keys of hell. You know, if you read in Revelation chapter 1, it's Christ that has the keys of hell and death because he conquered death. But nope, Roman Catholic Church says the priest has that power, the power of making them worthy of paradise. This is blasphemy. Okay? You can call it what you want, but the reality is it's absolute blasphemy. Here's another one. Saint Francis of Assisi once said, quote, if I saw an angel and a priest, I would bow my knees first to the priest and then to the angel. This is quoted in Dignities and Duties of the Priest, page 31. Bow my knees first to the priest and to the angel. Well, I got news for Saint Francis. We're not to bow our knees to anyone other than God himself. That would include angels. But they're claiming here that a human being, a priest, is to be bowed to before an angel. Yeah, whatever, man. Here's another quote. The Catholic Church claims to be our only hope for salvation. As a matter of fact, this was Pope Boniface the 13th who said this. November 13th, 1303, in his decree entitled Unum Sanctum. He said, urged on by our faith, we are obliged to believe and hold that there is one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Outside of her, there is no salvation. That's pretty sad. Anyway, we've got another call here, guys. Lois in New Jersey. Welcome, Lois.
Hi, Charlie. Am I on?
Aha! I recognize that voice.
Oh, yeah. This is Code 7.
Sister Lois from the Sisters of the Flying Penguins. I shouldn't say that. I'm joking. I actually have a lot of respect for, you know, a lot of nuns. They do a lot of good work.
I'm not a nun, although, anyway. I have a question.
You weren't going to make a joke, were you? No. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for you. I was born and raised Catholic.
So was I.
For 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much everybody up in New England was at one point or other, but...
I'm no longer a Catholic, mainly because... they would not feed me the Bible for 30 years. They held the Bible from me.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have time to get around to it, but believe it or not, the Catholic Church had what was called a list of forbidden books. It was only removed back in the 60s with, you know, Vatican II. But for centuries, they had a list of forbidden books. And guess what the number one most forbidden book was on that list?
The Bible.
Yeah.
I believe
and
it.
Again, it's in my notes. If I don't have time to get to it today, folks, write me. I'll send you the transcripts. But I quote from two Catholic councils. Two. One was the Council of Trent, and I forget what the other one was. But both of them issued a decree that you were forbidden to own a Bible or even portions thereof. And if you were caught, the copies were to be turned over to authorities to be burned. And you were to be brought up on charges and possibly faced being, you know, tortured or executed or whatever.
I believe
anyway,
that,
go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that because history proves that with William Tyndale and Martin Luther. So history backs up what you're saying. So I left the Catholic Church because, and then I went to a church where I could study the Bible. Basically, that's why I left. And then... other reasons too, but that's the main reason. My question to you, Charlie, is that when I was being brought up Catholic, I was taught that the Eucharist represents the body and blood of Christ. Now I'm hearing lately that the Eucharist is the body and blood
it
of
literally.
Christ. When did that change, or did I know?
No, that's
sleeping
been the...
during my classes.
That's been the case I think it was the 9th century when that was declared, and then several councils after that reaffirmed it and made it official. It wasn't official, it was circulating for a few centuries, but I think it was around the 12th or 13th century that a Catholic council actually came out and officially declared that now from henceforth you must believe it upon claims, condemnation of heresy. But it is, in fact, and has been for, you know, the past 800-900 years,
mm-hmm.
whatever, it's been taught that, yeah, it is the body and blood, not that it represents, that it is.
Right.
And they literally, like I said, a lot of churches don't do this now. That's about 50-50. I've seen a few around here that still do. The priest will hold up the monstrance. And again, it's a rod at the end of which is this sun, solar symbol. It's a sunburst. And
right,
in the center.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. In the center, there's this round little space where you put mm-hmm. the wafer, and then he would hold it up, and everybody bows their head.
Right.
And what they're doing is paying homage to a flippin' piece of bread. They're claiming that piece of bread has now become Christ.
I've because done that many focus. Times, yes.
Yeah. So they're worshiping. So take your pick, whether it's the piece of bread they're worshiping or the pieces of porcelain formed in the shape of what's called Mary. You know, it's idolatry. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what this is, folks. The Bible actually, we can go on in this forever, but did you know that in the Catholic Catechism, not in the Catholic Bible, and I challenge any Catholic out there listening to take me up on this challenge and look into this for yourself. Actually, we've got a break. I'll explain that when we get back. You want to hold on, Lois? Or?
Sure.
Okay, sure. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Got Lois from New Jersey. Yeah, just to finish up what I was saying before the break, you know, I challenge any Catholic listeners, if you're not aware of this, to look into it. You'll see it's true. The Ten Commandments, as taught in the Roman Catholic Catechism, are not the same as what you will find in the Roman Catholic Bible, the Douay Version Bible. Check it out for yourself. Compare the two, and you'll see they're totally different. Maybe that'll get you asking questions. Why? Why is that? How come they're teaching us in the Catechism a totally different set of Ten Commandments than what's in our own Catholic Bible? And the reason is obvious. They didn't change it in the Bible, but they did change it in the Catechism. They're hoping you don't notice because they figure most Catholics don't even read the Bible. But what they've done in the Catechism is they've taken out the Second Commandment, where God forbids, of course, the creation of idols. God actually didn't even want to be worshipped himself in the form of an idol. He not only didn't want us to make, you know, birds and fish and cattle or whatever, he didn't even want us to make an image of his own self. He does not want to be worshipped in the form of an idol because that is idolatry. Well, the Catholic Church conveniently came along and took that out of their catechism because, of course, their churches are loaded with idols, right?
Right. Well, and then, just real quick, though,
to make up the difference for this missing commandment, they divided the ninth one in half, which says, "Thou shalt not commit, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods." That's one commandment, but they took it and they divided it into two, so that the ninth reads, "Thou shalt not, you know, covet thy neighbor's wife," and then the next one, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods," as though they're two separate commandments to make up the difference for the missing one. Anyway, go ahead, Lois.
Okay.
as far as the Catholic Church goes and their rules, their regulations, and their doctrines, they have got to be the most complicated religion on the face of the earth. Just today, you mentioned a few things about the Pope that it is written somewhere. I'm sorry, I didn't catch where the Pope is actually underneath it all is Christ. Now,
yeah, that's the problem. A lot of Catholic authors have said that, but
yeah, the problem is that if I went to a regular priest down the block today and I said that to him, 9 times out of 10 they're going to explain it differently. And this is part of the problem. They deny everything. It's written here, there, and over here. But then when you go into real situation,
as always,
why deny it?
To these people? Yeah, why go to these people? Because they could be just plain ignorant like you are, or they might be lying. Whichever, it doesn't matter. Why ask them? Go look for yourself. Why can't people use their own brains? You know. It's like 9/11. Are you going to go ask Bush? Hey, Bush, did you really do 9/11? I've been hearing people tell me that. You're going to ask the chief liar himself? Go and look it up. Look into it for yourself. Why do people have to go to the experts? The experts are liars. They always have been liars.
Well,
you know, in the Middle Ages.
It's part of investigation. You know, sometimes you want to hear from the horse's mouth. You know,
right, but if the horse is lying, does it matter what you hear from him, though? You know what I'm saying? This is the problem. Like back in the Dark Ages, if you went to a professor and asked, hey, is it true that the Earth really is the center of the universe and everything goes around the Earth? Of course they're going to say yes, even if they don't believe it, and a great many didn't believe it. But they had to because they knew they'd be out of a job and maybe stretched out on the rack tomorrow if they didn't say otherwise, so, you know. If they said otherwise, you know, they had to go along with the status quo. And today's no different.
Okay, let's see. Somebody in the room asked a question.
She's talking about Pal Talk, guys. She's one of my Pal Talk buddies there. Pal Talk.
Yeah, well, after you called me ignorant, I don't know if we're friends anymore, but I know how you mean that. I know you meant
that. Oh, no, I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking about people that, you know.
Okay. I cannot find it. Something about... I don't want to take up your time and not just give me one more. Okay. A question from the room is, how are they going to rebuild Solomon's temple and have the Pope rule from there?
Well, I'm not a major advocate of that. You know, there's some people that think that, some that don't. I don't really take a particular stand on that, you know. My point is, expose Zionism and Vaticanism, and then you can't go wrong. You won't be fooled by it. Whether there's a temple or not, you're not going to be fooled by it because you're going to recognize it as, you know, this emerging satanic global world religion system, and you're not going to have any part of it in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
To me, that's immaterial. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Just stay away from it. Recognize that Zionism, that Vaticanism, and all these other great world religions are led by hucksters. They might say some things that sound good, but that doesn't mean that they are good. You know, look at who's pulling the strings at the top rungs and stay away from them. Because they'll, you know, they'll lead you down a dead-end road. This is the warning that Christ gave when he was on earth about the Pharisees, you know. And in the end, almost everybody sided with the Pharisees and shouted, crucify him. And, you know, it's just, history just keeps repeating itself.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, was that it, Lois? Do you have any more points or questions?
Well, can I? I mean, I'm taking up a lot of time here.
Well, we can throw one more. How's that? And then I want to finish up with some of the
okay.
other.
Okay. All right. Again, I do talk to people, and I would say that 90% of my family is Catholic still. And they tell
yes,
me.
Yes, same here.
They once you're a Catholic, they are diehards. They don't want to move from where they are. It's incredible. But they tell me in the Catholic Church there is a movement towards studying the Bible more. And my brother actually is going to a Bible study through the Catholic Church, and I was wondering if the Catholic Church in general is moving towards study of the Bible more.
Well, you know, that's a good thing initially that they're making that move, but unfortunately, you know, people are who do that are going to be hemmed in, you know, in their understanding of it, because they're going to get a Roman Catholic interpretation of it every time, and they're obviously going to ignore certain passages that are that fly right in the face of Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, that's the danger. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's good on the surface, but you know, on the one hand, it can be a stepping stone in the right direction, but it can wind up being a stumbling block if that's all that they, you know, they just go there and stop, and don't go any further, you know.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lois.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. See you in the room after.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, guys. This is a quote I made reference to earlier. In fact, there's a couple of this nature. Let's look at one here. This is from the Council of Toulouse. That's the one I couldn't remember before, which met about the time of the crusade against the Albigenses. And that was a Protestant group that, you know, were slaughtered en masse by at the hand of the Vatican. You know, they would send the secular authorities out to kill their enemies, the ones that questioned their divine authority. Anyway, the Council of Toulouse made this declaration. Listen to this. We prohibit laymen possessing copies of the Old and New Testament. We forbid them most severely to have the above books in the popular vernacular, in the common language. The lords of the districts shall carefully seek out the heretics in dwellings, hovels, and forests, and even their underground hovels shall be utterly wiped out. Council Toulousum, Pope Gregory the Ninth, Anno Chronicle 1229, Canons 14 and number 2. So there you go, guys. This is a official Roman Catholic source. This was upheld by the council then and the reigning pope, Gregory the Ninth. So nobody can say that Roman Catholic teaching was pure prior to Vatican II. Sorry, folks. That's not the case. Roman Catholic teaching has always been evil and corrupt. Here's another one. This is from the Council of Tarragona, 1234, the year 1234. It ruled that, quote, no one may possess the books, very similar to Toulouse, the books of the Old and New Testaments in the Romance language, and if anyone possesses them, he must turn them over to be to the local bishop within 8 days after promulgation of this decree, so that they may be burned. At the Council of Constance in 1415, Wycliffe was posthumously condemned by Arundel, the Archbishop of Canterbury, as, quote, that pestilent wretch of damnable heresy who invented a new translation of the scriptures in his mother tongue. So as you can see, the Catholic Church has been always waged a vehement war against the Bible because they recognize if you delve into it too deep, you're eventually going to realize that what it teaches is not in harmony with the that what the Catholic Church teaches is not in harmony with the Bible. It's totally out of harmony with the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, the Catholic Church tampered with the Bible. They've altered it. No, they haven't. If they had altered it, they would have done a good job to the point where they would have removed all the statements that are antithetical to its teachings. They didn't alter it. They tried to. They tried to destroy it, but it didn't work. And I guess my sound dropped again. Sorry about that. Sound dropped again, guys. But, you know, they didn't tamper with it. They wanted to outright destroy it and those who propagated it. That's the bottom line, guys. They tried time and time again to crush out the lives of those who propagated the Bible. And again, whether you're a Bible believer or not, it doesn't matter. The reality is that the Catholic teaching and the teachings of the Bible do not harmonize. They are entirely incompatible with one another. And this is why the Bible was on the number one slot of the list of forbidden books by the Vatican for centuries, guys. And again, why these councils have you know, declared that no one can own a copy of the Bible. It was forbidden. They didn't alter it. If they had altered it, gosh darn it, they would have fixed it so that it didn't conflict with its teachings. Do you understand that? Some people who fall for this crap, this is, you know, this is our Jesuits at work again, guys. They're the ones that have come up with these ideas. Anyway, by the way, I quoted from the Jesuit Oath of Unction earlier. I didn't actually finish that quote. I forgot. But anybody who wants to read that, again, just email me. I'll send you the transcripts. Did you know that that's included in a congressional record from the early 19-teens? It was cited because somebody was running for Congress who was a Jesuit, and you know, they brought that document forward as evidence against the person, and they were trying to pass legislation to prevent anyone who was a Jesuit or had ever been Jesuit trained from running for any public office, and for good reason, because that's their job, guys, to infiltrate governments and to bring them down, to bring them under the banner and control of Rome. Here's another one. This is an excerpt from a letter written by Pope Martin V, 1417 to 1431, to the King of Poland. And this is what he said, guys. Know that the interests of the Holy See, again, that's the Vatican, and that of your crown, make it a duty for you to exterminate the Hussites, the followers of John Huss, again, one of the Protestant reformers. Remember that these impious persons dare proclaim principles of equality. They maintain that all Christians are brethren and that God has not given to privileged men the right of ruling the nations. They hold that Christ came on earth to abolish slavery. They call all people to liberty, that is, to the annihilation of kings and priests. Whilst there is still time, then, turn your force against Bohemia. Burn, massacre, make deserts everywhere, for nothing could be more agreeable to God or more useful to the cause of kings than the extermination of the Hussites. Do you still think that the pre-Vatican II church was correct? God help you. You are as blind as they come. Do you see what this Pope was stating, guys? They hate liberty. They hate freedom of conscience. They hate the idea that the masses are co-equals with the rulers, that everyone is equally human, and no one has any superiority above another. Kings have hated it, popes have hated it, and they've always snuffed, always sought to snuff it out, and they've always collaborated together, and guess what? They're collaborating again today because they want to snuff it out once again. Notice what the following declaration made in a letter written by Pope Nicholas, 857 AD, wrote to the King of Bulgaria. He said, I glorify you for having maintained your authority by putting to death those wandering sheep who refuse to enter the fold, and congratulate you upon having opened the kingdom of heaven to the people admitted to your rule. A king need not fear to command massacres when these will retain his subjects in obedience or cause them to submit to the faith of Christ. And God will reward him in this world and in eternal life for these murders. This is a former pope once again, guys. Unbelievable. Any Catholics out there who still think that their church is the greatest thing on earth, either now or prior to Vatican II, I'd like to hear from you, seriously. And I'd like to know on what basis you can defend that at this point. I don't think you're going to call, though, for obvious reasons. You don't want to let go of your cult. But, you know, you're not going to attempt to challenge me either, because you know you can't defend your cult in wake of these authoritative Roman Catholic quotes. It's pretty sad, isn't it, folks, that there's people out there who can talk truth only just so far. But they're not going to, you know, they can't come to terms with the fact that they're following and peddling a big lie, just like the Bush administration is doing. It's great if you can wake up to the reality of this administration and rigging 9/11. Hey, that's awesome. And I consider you an ally in that respect. But quite honestly, aren't you doing a disservice to man if you're pawning off another big lie on them, the Roman Catholic Church? Isn't it time we abandon all these corporate steepled structures, these phony, fraudulent Christian wannabe institutions, or whatever they profess to be? I don't care what religion. They're all fake, guys. At the highest levels, they're all controlled. They're all a part of this emerging global system. And they're all liars. They're all seeking to suck money out of you. They're all seeking after power and control. Forget them all. Here's an excerpt, guys, from what is called the Black Book or the Libro Nero. It was actually on display at the Vatican Library until the past decade or so. It was removed now and put back in the Vatican archives and the, you know, underground lockers there, along with a whole lot of other treasures. Ooh, I wonder what they've got down there. Did you know they have millions of volumes locked away that they will never allow the public to see? I wonder what they're hiding. Anyway, this book is now down there. It used to be on display. The Libro Nero. It was, in fact, the guidebook, if you will, for the Inquisitor. The Book of Torture, or Book of the Dead, as it's often been called. Here's an excerpt from it. Either the person confesses and he is proved guilty from his own confession, or he does not confess and is equally guilty on the evidence of witnesses. If a person confesses the whole of what he is accused of, he is unquestionably guilty of the whole. But if he confesses only in part, he ought to still be regarded as guilty of the whole, since what he has confessed to proves him to be capable of guilt as to the other parts of the accusation. In other words, guys, it didn't matter what you said or didn't say. You were going to be tortured anyway and probably executed. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, guys. Back here on Truth Hurts Radio. Let me finish this quote here. Again, this is from the Libro Nero. This is the Book of the Dead, or the Inquisitor's Handbook, that was used all during the Middle Ages for the Dominican friars that engaged in torture and execution of heretics. It goes on to say, bodily torture has ever been found the most salutary and efficient means of leading to spiritual repentance. Therefore, the choice of the most befitting mode of torture is left to the judge of the Inquisition, who determines according to the age, the sex, and the condition of the party. If, notwithstanding all the means employed, the unfortunate wretch still denies his guilt, he is to be considered as a victim of the devil, and as such deserves no compassion from the servants of God, nor the pity and indulgence of Holy Mother Church. He is a son of perdition. Let him perish among the damned. Unbelievable, guys. There you go. That was used for centuries by the Inquisitors. You know, this sounds like something you'd read at the, you know, Guantanamo Bay. You see how torture is rearing its ugly head again? Where do you think they get this from, guys? A lot of the torture ideas employed at Guantanamo come right from the Dark Ages, guys. Waterboarding? That's an old one. That goes way back. Oh, boy. Anyway, I guess I got one more caller, and yeah, I guess we got enough time for him. We got Nathan in Tennessee. Go ahead there, Nate.
Yes, sir. I like what you're doing. Keep up the good work. You mentioned about the Catholic Church change of the Ten Commandments, but the most blatant change was that of the heart of the Ten Commandments, meaning the Fourth Commandment, in which the ultimate expression of sun worship is their change of God's holy day of being the seventh day.
Well, I'll go one better for you than that. I'll go one better for you. They changed the first commandment, thou shalt have no gods before me, by introducing the false schizophrenic Trinity God. How's that one?
Yeah, but speaking of a loss of freedoms, a lot of people are looking at the Bill of Rights, but they're skipping the first part of the first amendment, which says Congress shall make no law establishing a religion.
Oh, sure.
And that's the ultimate goal.
All kinds of religious laws that they're
exactly
passed. Oh, I look at your faith-based initiative.
Exactly.
Acronym FBI. I love that one.
Exactly. And if you look at the Roman Catholic Catechism, it urges Catholics and Catholic sympathizers to, as part of their political work, is to make sure that they pass legislation and bring in Sunday laws, or national Sunday law, and that's the ultimate goal, because they want to deal with your conscience, and they want to deal with that.
Well, I won't argue with your Sabbath Sunday change, but I don't see a Sunday law coming down the pike, and here's why. Here's why. Wait, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Washington is run by Zionists. I rest my case right there.
Well, in Israel, they're voted to deal with, to bring in Sunday laws, even in Israel. So I don't see where that will prevent it. Like,
oh, yeah? Where'd you get that from?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Where'd you get that from? I've never heard that.
Okay, well, like I said,
True Threats Radio at AOL.com. If you got that, send it to me.
I've
never heard of that one.
All right,
yeah.
Keep up the good work, bro.
Okay, man, that's it for today, guys, all the time we got. Tomorrow, well, I don't know. We'll go off another rant. I promise, though, I'm done with the religious stuff. But it is important, guys. All this stuff, it all fits in with the New World Order. It has to be exposed. Can't leave any stone unturned if we're interested in getting to the truth and exposing the lies. All right, guys. Have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Since 1988.